If you will, look with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15 for our scripture reading. This is called the Song of Moses, but really it's a song inspired of the Lord, sung by Moses and the children of Israel. We call it the Song of the Redeemed. So in Exodus chapter 15, we read, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." A reminder that all true singing in worship is unto the Lord, not unto men or about men. "And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." How do you know if a song is truly scriptural? Well, here's the pattern. All the glory belongs unto the Lord. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." And as far as man, what is his lot? It says there, "The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Everything we read here is descriptive of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says, "I will prepare him a habitation," that habitation is God in the flesh. It's Christ. The Lord, here again, Christ, is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Jehovah God. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Here again is a reminder, what is man that he should ever stand before God? It says here, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power." Who is the Lord's right hand? That's Christ, his Son, for the accomplishing of his purpose. "Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." And notice, "in the greatness of thine excellency." You use the word excellent and you think, well, that's as good as it gets. But here, "in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble." Natural-minded sinners today have no clue as to God's wrath. They make light of it. But here, we see it in contrast to the salvation of his people. "That wrath poured out, and hath the blast, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were at its lowest point at that time, so they were able to get across." Here it says, "the blast of thy nostrils, with that the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters." Whenever you hear of wind, rain, storm, flood, notice the language of Scripture. "Thou didst blow with thy wind." "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Why are there even little G-O-D-S's? Well, it's because of men's imagination. But among all that men can conceive concerning their little G-O-D-S, who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. That word wonder is reserved for God alone. Sometimes we say, oh, it was wonderful. Talking about a concert or some trip, well, it was wonderful. That word actually is reserved for God alone, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out of thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Again, when you see Christ is God's right hand, nothing moves or lives or breathes but what it comes through his right hand, whether it's in judgment or whether it's in salvation. Now notice the contrast between wrath and mercy. And this ought to give us pause if we're objects of his mercy. Verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You could preach the entire gospel right from that verse 13. Who is it that God shows mercy to? Well, those he has redeemed. How do you know he's redeemed you? Well, he guides you forth. He leads you forth and guides you, it says, in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The only way we can ever hope to stand before a holy God, of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till thy people pass over which thou hast purchased. Again, redemption. Not one was destroyed that the Lord purposed should pass over. You say, how were they purchased? The Passover lamb. That's the type and picture of Christ and his church. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. And again, I'm thankful the editors put S in capital there, because this place where we meet is not a sanctuary. There's one sanctuary, and that is Christ. That's how any are declared righteous in him. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So what rejoicing there is. And yet, here we're reminded of just what type of people God saves. Not good people. Because here it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You go from much water to no water. And yet the Lord directing it all. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Here again is a picture of Calvary, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Picture of Christ, the water of life. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. We read it many times too casually and read it not looking for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I pray by your Spirit of grace that you would continue to be our teacher, that wherever we turn in this your word and whatever we read, that our hearts and minds might be turned to your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my desire, even now as we meet together, that all of the glory belong unto him. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give the glory. So we wait upon you, much as these here in a dry and thirsty land. Remove from us all complaining and unbelief, and cause us to drink of the water of life, and to be filled, and to go from here rejoicing in all that you have done for sinners such as we are, but in your mercy and grace, purposed for our salvation. And we're mindful to give you all the praise and honor and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.